Hey guys, welcome to Crime Spotlight, where we talk about crimes that have shocked us in the news. I've got Nikita here with me.
Hi guys.
And Ayan.
Hiya.
And I'm Jasmine, and the first episode will actually be a case that I chose, and it's about Mary Vincent. I do have to put a trigger warning out because this does contain things about sexual assault and a lot of violence in it as well, a lot of gory details, I'm afraid. So let's get started. So it starts with 15-year-old Mary Vincent. So on the 29th of September 1978, Mary Vincent had left her parents' house and wanted to make way to her grandfather's house in LA. And since she had no money, she decided to hitchhike on a freeway in the San Francisco Bay Area and decided she needed to go on the Interstate 5 to get to her grandfather's house.
Okay, I just have to say, it was a really good time for serial killers in the 70s.
Like, definitely.
Every time you hear something, it always happened in the 70s.
I think people were too trusting in the 70s. Like, they just thought they could get into, like, a randomer's car and they'd get home fine.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people didn't lock their doors either.
They didn't, because they just trusted people, but I guess now they know better.
The biggest serial killer in the 70s was probably Ted Bundy.
Yeah, definitely. I think that was more. There was loads on. Like, have you heard of the show called Mindhunter?
Yeah, I have.
I love Mindhunter.
Yeah, it was sick, and they have loads of serial killers on there, and like quite a few of them are from like the 70s and 80s.
They do, yeah.
It's just the boom. Right. So, she was hitchhiking on the freeway, and there were two other people actually with her at the side of the road, and so the three were hitchhiking together and a blue van stopped right in front of them, but he said he could only take one person, and so the other hitchhikers told Mary to wait with them, but she decided, I'll take the ride. So she got inside the van, and the man who had stopped was actually a 51-year-old man called Lawrence Singleton, and Lawrence was a merchant seaman. And he told Mary that he would make one stop at his house in San Pablo and then head towards Interstate 5. And so they drove to his house, and after leaving his house, she fell asleep in the van. And as she woke up, she realized they had passed Interstate 5 and were actually heading towards Nevada. When she said that they were going the wrong way, he said it was a mistake and started heading back, where they went south on Interstate 5. And on the highway on Interstate 5, he stopped the van and said he needed to go to the bathroom. And when he got out of the van, when she got out of the van, she bent down to tie her shoelaces, and he immediately hit her around the head with a hammer and hit her around with the head with his fists as well. He then proceeded to tie her hands and then sexually assaulted her. And after, he drove her to a canyon nearby and sexually assaulted her there again. She said she begged to be let go, but he forced her to drink something, and then she thought that it was something to make her pass out. And then when she woke up, she realized he was actually dragging her body away from the van, and he stopped halfway and cut the ropes that were tying her hands behind her back, and he used a hatchet and cut off her hands around from the elbow underneath. It was horrible. It apparently took him 5 swings to cut off her forearms, and she was fully conscious during this.
And this was outside in plain
view. Yeah, I think this was at night, so.
Oh my God.
It was awful. And she was awake.
And she survived this?
Yes, she did survive this. So after he did that to her, he then threw her over a 30-foot cliff near Del Puerto Canyon and into a concrete culvert. Do either of you know what a culvert is?
No. What's a culvert?
So it's basically like, you know, like a drainage pipe, but one of those really big ones.
Oh, I think I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's like a concrete version of that, but that was like at the bottom of a cliff that he had thrown her off. And so he threw her over a 30-foot cliff into a concrete culvert and like kind of like a ditch. And he said, and then as he left, he said she was free now. Then
that is sick.
My mouth is literally wide open. I can't believe she survived that.
It's awful. What she does next will honestly shock you. So he drove away, leaving her for dead, and she was unconscious at the time when she was thrown off the cliff. And as she came to, she woke up, and basically when he had thrown her off the cliff, she was actually naked and she was covered in her own blood. And she actually decided to stick her forearms into mud to stop bleeding.
Smart girl.
Very clever. And I didn't realise, does mud actually stop the bleeding?
I think it would like clog it, yeah. Wouldn't it?
That would get horribly infected.
Clog the wound.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
It's not like she had much choice at that moment.
Yeah, that's true. So she dragged herself out of the culvert and she climbed a 30-foot hill in the dark with no arms.
That's insane.
Apparently she did quite a bit of it, like using her chin.
She must have been insanely strong.
Yeah, she must have so much strength. Like I would have just lay there, like,
definitely
given up.
She has a lot of what's the word? Willpower.
Yeah.
And so especially at 15.
Oh my god, I forgot she was 15.
Yeah, she's 15.
She was only 15 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, she's 15, and this all happened to her. So
that's incredibly crazy.
So when she was climbing, she heard traffic and started walking towards the sound. And she said that she kept her arms raised when she was walking towards the traffic so that the muscles and blood would not fall out. She walked for hours and actually ended up walking about 3 miles, naked, covered in blood, until a couple stopped in a car, wrapped her elbows in towels, and took her to the hospital. She said that when she was looking around for ages for someone to help her, she actually had a car stop, but I think because they saw her and she was covered in blood, she didn't have any arms and she was naked, the person just drove off, really.
Yeah, I was thinking, imagine you're just driving and you stop and you see that, like, what would you do?
I wouldn't think it was real.
Yeah.
I would think it's something out of a horror movie. I think I would have gone scared.
I would have started praying and I would have left.
Yeah. It's nice of the couple to stop because, I mean, if you're alone, I wouldn't stop. But if you're with someone else, I guess you feel a bit safer.
Yeah.
Then I would stop. But I mean, it's good that they stopped because they saved her life. And they took her to the hospital, and she ended up spending a month recovering in hospital. But she said she was determined to make Lawrence Singleton make sure that he was found by police. She gave them a detailed description, which resulted in a sketch, and his neighbour actually recognised him from the sketch and called the police right away. And so when the police went to Lawrence Singleton's house, they found a few of her belongings, like cigarettes and burnt clothing, which I'm guessing he tried to get rid of. But they also found that he thoroughly cleaned his van after coming home.
That didn't stop him, did it? He still got caught.
I mean, why would you clean the van and then leave the clothes there?
He must have been keeping them as like a trophy thing, because a lot of serial killers, they keep items from their victims.
That's true, they do.
As like... trophy.
So weird. Stole her cigarettes though.
So how many years did he get?
I'll go into that. You'll get angry hearing this. So police said they questioned him, and then he lied and said that he'd actually picked up hitchhikers after her, and that he had consensual sex with her. He said that he paid her to have sex, and he denied attacking her. And then 6 months after the assault, she testified at his hearing, and she was wearing prosthetics by then. And apparently after she had finished giving her testimony and walked past him in court, he said, "I'll finish this job if it takes me the rest of my life."
Oh my
if that
God.
Doesn't say he's guilty, I don't know what does.
Did anybody else hear him say that?
I'm not sure, because the report I found, it literally just said that. I think she said to the reporter that's what he said to her when she was walking past him.
And the fact that he said that he had consensual sex with a 15-year-old didn't bother anybody.
That really shocks me as well. I don't know how you can have consensual sex with a 15-year-old. That's just disgusting anyway, but clearly he's not very...
That must have been illegal.
Yeah, definitely. But I think in America, because he called her a prostitute, so like people in America would just be like, oh, she's a prostitute then. They wouldn't see her as like a victim.
So did he ever actually end up in jail?
Yes. So he was found guilty and convicted of, so I'll list what he was convicted of: kidnapping, mayhem, which I googled is a law crime consisting of the intentional mutilation of another person, attempted murder, rape, and sex crimes. And he actually received the maximum sentence possible at that time, in 1979, because judges couldn't give consecutive sentences for each felony. So so that meant that the highest possible sentence for him was 14 years.
Only 14 years.
Yeah, 14 years.
That sounds very unfair.
It's horrible.
I think I'm reading that he only carried out 8.
Yeah, he didn't even do most of it. So the judge even said, if I had the power, I would send him to prison for the rest of his natural life. But he ended up just spending 7 years and 9 months of his sentence, because he was released on good behavior, because I think he was being like a teaching assistant in the prison. So they let him out on parole for good behavior.
I'm sorry, did you say teaching assistant?
Yeah. Not around kids. I mean like within the prison. So like he helped out with the classes in prison. I mean,
that's crazy.
It's ridiculous he was let out early. And so he was paroled to a few different towns in California, but no town would actually take him. So whenever he would be assigned to a specific town in California, all of the people that were living in that town would basically do like a town mob and say, we don't want him. Yeah, which is understandable.
They should have done that.
And so she actually even took him to civil court as well, because she thought that criminal court didn't do enough justice. So she won a $2.5 million lawsuit or civil judgment against him, but she didn't actually receive any of it because he was really poor, he was quite ill, and he only had $200 in savings.
Well, the state should have given her money then.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't get any form of justice, really, in criminal or civil court.
Yeah.
And it says, her life was ruined by him. She wanted to become a dancer in Las Vegas, but the doctors actually had to take some parts out from her leg to save her right arm. So that means that she had to give up dancing as well.
Oh, poor girl.
So her whole life was really ruined by him.
How about now? How is she living now? I think he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah. It says his criminal status is it's dead.
Deceased.
What it says there.
Good.
What about her?
She's actually an artist now and a victims' rights advocate. And it says she also delivers motivational speeches, and she also plays around with her prosthetic arms, like what to put in it. So sometimes she'll like make things for it. And she went on to get married and have 2 sons, I think. But it gets worse for him. So he can't live anywhere in California because nowhere will take him. And then he decides to move back to his home state of Florida. And in Florida, he signs up to the, I think it's like something offender registry. And so he signs up to that, but local law enforcement did not have to tell his new neighbors about his past. So he would have to, he lived in a neighborhood and no one knew what kind of things he did.
Did he try and assault anybody again?
Yeah, so on the 19th of February 1997, a house painter painting a nearby home looked into the window of his home, and they saw a naked man covered in blood repeatedly stabbing a naked woman. He said that he could hear bones being crushed with every stabbing. And so police arrived at the home and found it was Singleton, and that the victim was a 31-year-old woman called Roxanne Hayes. She was a mother of three and a sex worker, and he claimed that they fought because she tried to take more money and he didn't mean for her to die. And Mary Vincent also testified at that trial so Roxanne could get justice.
Oh my god. See, this is the problem with giving them such short sentences. They come out and they're reoffending.
Exactly.
They could potentially save these people.
It's just the fact that, like, he did that to someone and they were like, oh, he's on good behaviour, so we'll let him go, like, 6 years early.
What about the second time that he offended? How many years did he get for that?
So that one was actually a good result. So Mary testified. She said it was very hard to testify and relive the ordeal, but she did it for Roxanne and herself. And Singleton was found guilty and was given the death sentence for Roxanne's murder. And he died on December 28th, 2001, at the age of 74 from cancer, waiting for his execution.
Good. I was fearing for her, though, because when he come out, I don't know.
Yeah, that thing he said.
He might have gone
yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, like, what they messed up on in the first trial, like, that's why Roxanne died. Like, she wouldn't have been dead if they had actually done their job in the first place.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. When they give them some short sentences, these people will come out and they will repeat the
exactly
mistakes that they've done before, because nothing's going to stop them. These people don't have
exactly. They're way too trusting, I think. Or, like, they're too trusting in reforming. I mean, I believe in reforming, but
I don't believe in reforming murderers.
I think it depends. It depends. But not like...
Yeah, it depends on the reason.
But like, if it's something this gory, I really don't think, like... I don't understand how someone can not be that way again.
Yeah, this was just torture and rape. Like, there's no way you can actually reform from that.
Exactly.
Like, how did you get that way in the first place?
And he was 51, so there's not really a lot of time for reforming.
Yeah.
So that was like the first time he's ever killed or attempted to kill somebody.
Well, it didn't say anything about anything before. It doesn't even say anything about if he's been arrested before he tried anything. He tried to do that stuff to Mary, but I'm guessing that's his first offense.
First series.
Yeah. And then it even says the outrage from his first sentencing actually created a new legislation supported by Mary Vincent, which stops the early release of offenders who have committed a crime where torture was used. And in 1987, due to his early parole, so that's when he got let out early, California passed a legislation called Singleton Bill, which carries a 25 years to life sentence.
25 to, that's good. Still too short. I feel like life should.
But then you see sometimes like people in the news where it says like this person's got 90 years in prison, and it's like, why don't you just say life? Because they're not really going to survive the 90 years in prison.
No, they're not. But I thought life actually meant life, but I think it's like only 15 years or so in the UK.
Life sentence is 15 years in the UK.
Yeah, it's about like 15 to 21.
Yeah.
Only? Oh my god.
It doesn't actually mean life.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, but when you say life, it's kind of like, well, obviously they give life to people who have murdered.
There's only about 5 serial killers or murderers in the UK that have ever had actual life.
Oh, I get you. I feel like in America there's quite a lot because the country's huge, and also they have so many unsolved murders because it's just so easy for someone to disappear.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they just have, like, their gun laws make it easier for people to kill.
Oh, definitely. But that is the story of Mary Vincent. So what do you guys think?
she's incredibly strong. I would not have survived that.
She's a very strong woman. I'm really, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but like a 15-year-old did that by herself. That's amazing.
Yeah, and she did it like straight away. Like as soon as that happened to her, she got up, she went for help. She got better, and then she's living such a good life.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
And it's just, wow.
It's amazing to think. Well, when I was 15, I wouldn't have known, like, that's how you stop the bleeding.
Me too. I definitely wouldn't have known that.
She's smart.
Is that quick thinking that saved
you? Yeah, definitely. And she, I just can't imagine how having to go through this stuff. But yeah, then again, like, what we were saying earlier with the 70s and 80s, like, people were hitchhiking just so normally, and it's like a 15-year-old getting into a van with a 51-year-old.
Yeah, I don't understand why hitchhiking was so normal. You're essentially getting into a car with a stranger that you don't know.
Yeah, and they're, like, usually they're the one driving. So it's like, even if you want them to stop, how do you get them to stop if you're hitchhiking? You can't, that's not your car.
Exactly. Is hitchhiking illegal?
I think it might be, you know. Let me have a look.
I think because it was just so easy in the 70s was because obviously, like, the police force and investigations weren't that good yet, that up to date. Yeah. Like, it was just starting off, like, all of these, like, looking for evidence and clues and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, like, DNA was still not big then yet. Or no, it hadn't come around yet, had it? In the 70s or 80s, I don't think so.
So it's not illegal, but it's not as popular.
Oh, in the UK.
As it was.
In the UK, before. It says it's illegal to hitchhike where pedestrians are banned. So, such as motorways.
Yeah, that would make sense. Imagine standing on the M1 and trying to hitchhike.
That's what she was doing!
She's just, no, oh my god.
I'm really shocked as well. Like, when I was 15, I did not think that I could get in a car on a, like, on a motorway and just be able to go out where I wanted. I'd be terrified.
Yeah, but I think it's just that it was so normalized.
I think in the 70s as well, you just grow up quicker. Like, have you guys read The Lovely Bones?
Yes.
Yeah, yes, when I had to read that book for A-levels, it was like a summer thing before I started year 12. I read the first page and she was like, oh yeah, I died on this day. I put the book away for a couple of weeks. I'm like, I can't read it.
Oh my god.
But then anyway, I read
so
it.
Horrible.
Yeah, I understood it and it was so good. And then you just like look at how like, at like such young ages they go through the things. Like her little sister, she was already grown up by the age of like 15, 16. And in the 70s, in the 70s, it was just different. Like,
yeah.
I think after the 70s, it's when like the milk carton stuff started happening.
Oh yeah, that was in The Lovely Bones.
Yeah,
that book traumatized me, honestly. But I was like, I think she was 14. Was it 15 or 14 when?
I think she was 14.
14. Yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't just wrap my head around the fact that she decided to follow him inside his house.
In The Lovely Bones. I thought it was the little thing he made.
It was in his house, yeah. It was in the field and it was underground.
Yeah, it was in the field and he opened like a hatch or something.
Yeah.
That was like, that led to his basement.
It was like in a corn maze.
Told her to get in. Yeah. And I was just thinking, why
did
she run?
I guess she trusted him.
Yeah, it was a
neighbor. So she was like, oh, okay. But still, that's really dodgy.
But still, he wasn't like a close neighbor. He was like a neighbor. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know my neighbor, but I'm not gonna get into his backyard.
Yeah, that's true.
And like decide to go into his basement.
I mean, I guess that's like things like that is why like Stranger Danger came and everything, and now like everyone's just told you can't speak to strangers and stuff, which is a good thing.
Yeah, it depends on like how easily they lie as well, because I remember him telling her that he's making like the secret hideout for all the kids to play in.
That sounds so bad in itself. Okay. Like, who? What grown man?
In the middle of a cornfield.
Oh my god. I remember seeing the movie for that as well, and that really traumatized me. It was so upsetting.
my god, yeah. The movie creeped me out so much that I couldn't even look at Stanley. Is it Stanley?
Yeah, Tucci. Stanley Tucci.
Oh my god, you know how you pronounce his name? He's literally the same guy from The Hunger Games.
Yeah, he's the show host.
The presenter. Yeah, and I love him, and I was like, no, that cannot be the same person. Yeah.
I couldn't look at him the same after I saw that
He is quite a good actor. Like, he played, like, a being a serial killer and, like, that type of person really well.
Yeah.
Being creepy. Yeah. I think that's it. So, thank you guys for listening to Crime Spotlight. Please tune in for the next episode. And bye!